Let's get to the phone lines. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. We appreciate his time because we know today, probably the busiest day of the tournament, quarterfinal day at the World Hockey Championships. Mike Johnson joined us right now, our TSN Hockey Insider. How you doing, MJ?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's a busy day. It's a lot going on, four games. Somebody's going home disappointed. Canada has to play Sweden in the quarterfinals, which is going to be a very difficult assignment. So, yeah, it'll be a fun day. Kind of, it's the best day of the tournament as kind of things wind down, but you also get some really great games. So, should be a good one.
All right, let's start with your assessment of the game that you're going to be calling with Gord Miller at 9:20 this morning, our time of Canada-Sweden. Sweden, as per usual, has put together a great team. They finished 6-1 in the round robin. In terms of, I went through that Nylander and Dahlin, amongst others, are on the team. Sort of, kind of go through the Swedish roster and you know where you think that they present the biggest challenge for Canada.
Well, Sweden, not surprisingly, plays a very strong system, defensive game. They don't run and gun. They are built from the defense out with structure and system. Their goaltending solid. I think Ullmark from Boston probably plays. They have Ekman Larson on the back end if he's healthy. They have Adam Larson. They have Rasmus Dahlin. You know, they're going to be stout defensively, very good with their system. What they don't have is a ton of game breakers up front. Will Nylander being the obvious exception, which is why he's maybe the most important person in this game for Sweden, because it's going to be low scoring if Sweden is doing what they want. They're going to wait for their opportunity to be very patient and rely on perhaps a moment of brilliance for William Nylander, who always seems to have it in the World Championship. He is one of the all-time highest points per game in the history of this tournament. He's been the MVP of it before. He's won a gold medal, so that will be the guy for Canada to watch. And for Canada, I think Logan Thompson's supposed to play in net. He's been a little bit injured the last couple games, hasn't even dressed, so he's going to be in there. You know, hopefully he's well enough to play well. But again, really, Canada gets themselves in trouble with kind of turning pucks over and kind of losing their structure. So that will be Canada's challenge. But Canada has the advantage up front. Canada has more good forwards, more game breakers, more skill up front than Sweden does. And the question is, can that skill control the game so Canada doesn't have to play on their own end so much where they get themselves in trouble?
Nylander knocking off Canada, even Leafs fans can get behind the hatred at that point. And Thompson, the goalie, just explain to people what the tournament's like, because I've been to many, and it is, even for reporters, a bit of a grind. What's the change in the energy like? And interestingly enough, I know the Finns hate the Swedes, but you almost want the Swedes continuing along. What's the energy like setting up, which should be just a hell of a match today, MJ?
Yeah, the energy is great. I got up to Tampere, which is where the semis and the finals will be played as well. Smaller town, maybe like 250,000 people, and it's everywhere you go. Everyone walking around with jerseys, everyone out at the bars and restaurants watching. Is a great vibe to it. And for the players, this is the day that matters, right? And you're right, it's only 2 weeks, but sometimes this tournament feels like it's a bit of a long time. But every player on every team, whether they play in Europe or North America, they play to get to this day. And you can kind of have ebbs and flows in the first seven games of the round robin, but you can't have one today, because if you lose today, the whole experience feels pretty empty. You go home early. You don't even get to play for a medal. You're like, why did we just take 3 weeks of our summer to do what feels like essentially nothing? So there's a lot of pressure on the result today, and you can feel that in the teams, in the fans, in the energy and everything else. Today's the day where like the real fun hockey part of this tournament begins.
When we last talked to you on Tuesday, that was before Canada's last round-robin game against France, you said, well, Canada's game is going in the wrong direction, but Drake Batherson's game is going in the right direction. And, man, were you you're on it in terms of Batherson. Canada ended up smoking France in the game, and Batherson ends up with four assists. Again, maybe your thoughts on Batherson, and maybe Thomas Chabot as well from a Sens point of view.
Yeah, so Drake, I guess we saw him trending. He's playing on the number one line now. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been Canada's best, most consistent player start to finish. And Dylan Cousins and now Drake Batherson make up the number one line. And it's just a better fit for Drake. The forechecking game, the spacing, it's not kind of the cutesy play on the perimeter game that Matt Barzal does, which I don't know if Drake really found a way to mesh with. I just think it's a really good fit for his style. And when you let him play in a place where he's comfortable and confident, really good things are going to happen. So, it's going to be on his line to really try to create offense for Canada today. But it looks like they're up to the task. He's been really good On the power play, not quite as smooth as what we've seen with him in Ottawa when it's going really well. He's playing a lot of time on the strong side here with Canada. He plays primarily on the offside there in Ottawa, and there hasn't been a great fit there. But 5-on-5, he's been really good. And Thomas Chabot, we take for granted, you know, how smooth he is, how many minutes he can play, all the ways he skates pucks out of trouble, all the good passes he makes, because oftentimes he goes for games, and you don't really notice him, and then you look, oh, he played 24 minutes, and he's +3, and that's, you know, he's just been efficient. He hasn't had any dynamic moments, but today, as the captain against Sweden, he's going to have to play a ton, and he's really going to have to be clean and help his decor be clean, and that's been one of Canada's biggest problems, kind of, you know, the big mistake at the wrong time. So he'll have to do that. But he's been good, not spectacular, but good. But watching him closely, again, you know, he's on the power play here in Canada too. His threat to score from the blue line, probably not as great as he would like it. You know, he facilitates nicely, but the actual shot is maybe not as great as he'd like it. So that's something to watch out for, you know, almost into next year. Like, you know, does that become an issue? Because it'd be great if he just was a little bit more of a threat. But he's been good. Not spectacular, but he's been good.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to stats we continuously bring up about Chabot for all the time he plays on the power play in his career in Ottawa has like a handful of goals in his, which is crazy. Just on Batherson quickly, on the ankle, you saw him play a lot late in the regular season when he came back from the high ankle sprain. Do you notice, do you feel like maybe it's continuing to get stronger game by game as well? That part just from a physical point of view?
Yeah, it's like we saw that over the, you know, once he returned in Ottawa over the few weeks, it was getting better to the point now where, of course, I'm watching him very closely. I know what he looked like when he's healthy. I know what he looks like when he wasn't quite healthy. He looks really pretty close to 100%. You don't notice it at all. You don't see any kind of hitch in his giddy up at all. The skating is strong. And the other part that Drake does well when he's right is he's sneaky physical. You know, like when he gets irritated, he can use that speed and get on the forecheck and make some strong hits. And didn't really see that, understandably, when he was coming back and he wasn't quite sure of his ankle. You're seeing that a lot in the last little while in this tournament, which probably also a pretty good indicator that the ankle's feeling pretty good.
MJ, are they playing on the 200x92? It is a hybrid ice?
They are, Simmer, and I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's a good number.
Like, yeah.
I think 200... So 200 by 85 feet wide is a traditional NHL rink. 200 by 100 feet wide is a traditional international rink. Finland has gone to this hybrid. I think most of the IIHF is trying to get to it, 200 by 92, 93. And I think it's a good number. It's not so wide that everyone just packs in the middle and there's nothing happens. Or if you beat someone out of the corner, it's too far to get back to the net before the defense recovers. But it's just got a little bit more width so that you can find a little bit extra space, especially in the offensive end. You'll see long sequences of, you know, cycles and high rolls of the defense because of those extra 3-4 feet per side. I like this number. I don't know how NHL teams could do it because the buildings would not have to, you know, you'd be taking out one row of the most expensive seats in the building, which is a problem. But as far as the quality of the game, I think this is a good middle ground between the traditional small rink and a big international rink.
Yeah, great discussion. Neutral zone, I like it. Down low, it's interesting because you can't roll off people the same. But I was just going to ask you on Batherson, is that 3 feet on your strong side on the power play give you a completely different angle of shooting?
Well, it does if you use it, but most.
But I mean, make it more difficult because those angles are just that little subtle bit of a short side shot it's completely different than on an 85.
If you let yourself get pushed out relative to the boards, if you play relative to the net, you're in the same spot. If you play relative to the boards, you're in a different spot.
Yeah.
So it depends on how you set yourself up. But you're right, Simmer. We know that, you know, he likes to catch that puck, drag. He really likes to try to go upstairs under the bar. It just hasn't been the power play in general. They scored certainly some goals, but just it hasn't been a super clean look over here. But yeah, if you kind of orientate yourself off the boards, you find yourself in different spots, and it's amazing what 2 feet, 3 feet will do to the way things set up for you. It's an entirely different game if you do.
You seen that ridiculous MacKinnon goal from last night?
Oh, my God. Galloping horse. And you think, like, to cap a hat trick, to go up with 3 minutes left, you're thinking, this is one of the highlight reel goals. He is jumping out of his skin. He's so excited with what he just pulled off. And then to wah-wah-wah, they lose in overtime. It doesn't even really matter because they lost. But you were thinking that might be because Colorado's been so good for several years, and they've had a hard time getting through the second round. And you thought, well, won't this be something? They're, you know, their best offensive player goes for a hat trick in a signature goal to give them the win to get to the second round en route to a Stanley Cup. Like, that would have been it, except it wasn't. I mean, I guess you got to give St. Louis just a ton of credit for, you know, being down 3-0, coming back from giving up that goal. Tyler Bozak with a slap shot, two words I've never even said before. He doesn't even know how to take slap shots, and yet he sends them to back for game six back to St. Louis. So, yeah, an incredible thing. If you don't have a good gap on Nathan MacKinnon, forget about it. And because he can not only skate around you, but he's so powerful. Like, he skates right through you. So if you think, I got a little stick on him, I can, you can't. He's too strong for that. And it was Nick Leddy who I think he dusted there at the last moment, a good defender. It's just, he's got the power in his stride. It was a great performance by him, but, you know, it doesn't ring quite as fantastic when you don't win.
On the other side, I keep looking at the Blues guys. You win a championship, you lose people on the salary cap. Going before that, they used Tage Thompson to get Ryan O'Reilly. But when you watch Kyrou and Thomas go back to those drafts, MJ, how key has that been? Because without that next layer and with the continued loss of retirement and salary cap, we're probably not even in the playoffs.
Nope, you're exactly right. And it's allowed them to age gracefully because Thomas has stepped forward and become a really good player. Kyrou, really good player, all-star. Even Barbashev, who's not young, but, you know, he took a step forward. So that if Ryan O'Reilly is still excellent, but not, you know, quite as good in the regular season, that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, you can go through those things. If David Perron is not quite as good in the regular season, that's okay because you have other guys getting better from within. That's how teams sustain their timeline of competitiveness. And, yeah, in a lot of ways, Kyrou, Thomas, Barbashev, Buchnevich, those guys are the guys who help drive that offense as much as Tarasenko and O'Reilly and Perron. And it's hard to do to kind of have nurture talent like that while you're winning. St. Louis has done a really good job of it. They're set up nicely still for the next several years because of that growth.
Those of us who have never spent a second in an NHL dressing room, especially in a playoffs, you know, can have one opinion. But for someone who has spent time there, how much, you know, with all the ghosts of, for Colorado, of never having, you know, or at least recently with a good team, can't get through that round two hump, to be so close last night, and as you well described, that incredible goal that should have been the signature moment of the playoffs for all teams so far, and instead it's like a giant pinprick into the balloon. How, you know, they're going to be asked about it continuously now for the next 36 hours. But, you know, what will be the feeling inside that Colorado dressing room between now and puck drop for game six?
Well, both things will be true, right? Like, they will believe they'll be fine because they're a good team. They've been through tough moments. They've won in St. Louis. They'll be fine. But somewhere in a quiet moment, when they're by themselves in their room, going to bed, having a nap, they're like, are you kidding me? Did we just lose that game? Like, well, what do we got to do to get through the next round? Like, geez, like, what do we got to do? There will be inner dialogue happening between confidence and doubt. And in a lot of the ways, it's like the old chicken and the egg. Like, can you do it because you believe you can? Or do you believe you can because you have? And I think in some way they have to do it before they really believe they can and get over the hump. It'll be challenging. I mean, the playoffs test you. You know, we looked at Toronto. I'm sure when they got up 3-2 on Tampa, they're like, okay, we've been here before. My goodness, when they didn't win game six, I'm sure they had those same conversations. Like, oh, God. You know, we've been here before, we didn't get it done. In many ways, Colorado might be suffering the same kind of the conversation. Doesn't mean they don't win. I think they do. I think they actually probably win next game. But you couldn't be human and not have a little doubt creep in.
Is this a moment when Joe Sakic, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, maybe comes out of the general manager's booth and speaks to the team? Or would that, and just to say, to reinsert his belief in the team, or would that be out of place?
Well, it's Joe Sakic. He can do whatever he wants, and it probably would work out. But, you know, I mean, we all love Any Given Sunday and the Al Pacino speech and how that, you know, the music, and it gets you going. Generally speaking, if Joe Sakic comes down and tries to address the team before practice today or something, it might rain. Like, oh, okay, Joe, like, we get, like, not we have a problem with Joe Sakic, but, like, you know, it's not going to rally or motivate. If anything, quiet moment with Nathan MacKinnon, with Gabe Landeskog, with Darcy Kemper, that would probably mean more and be more effective than have, you know, a team-wide summit saying, I believe in you guys, because I don't think that would really that would resonate deeply with the team.
It's also a situation where it's really your body language. When you get on the plane, how do you act? And I assume Joe Sakic could be fine. I've been around David Poile where he's nervous and that kind of filter to everybody else. And also kind of looking at this even a step further, this wasn't supposed to be the way it went, MJ. Kadri hat trick on the road. Now McKinnon seals it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put the fear, but the emotion has gone next level. Like, this is a different situation, and it reminds me of, both as a franchise, kind of in tenure, would you agree this is almost as pivotal as when Washington went in and finally beat Tampa in that Game 7, and it almost was like, okay, that's a hurdle, now we'll beat Pittsburgh, now we're going to win a cup?
Yeah, I mean, they have two cracks at it. Well, they had three, now they have two. But yes, I mean, this is a massive, massive moment for this franchise and for this group of players, because they know Nazem Kadri is going to go play somewhere else very likely next summer. Darcy Kuemper may be gone. Like, you know, they won't have the same team, and they likely won't be as good next year just because of the financial requirements to put their team back together. So, yeah, they know, and they've had a few different years of this where they've had their chance and they did not get it done. I picked Colorado to win the Cup before the season. I picked Colorado to win the Cup before the playoffs. I'll pick Colorado to win the Cup still today. I'm staying on the bandwagon, but... if they don't get it done, next game, Simmer, that's when all the skeletons will be coming out, and it'll be a tricky, tricky game in Game 7.
Hey, listen, we really, really appreciate, in a very busy day for you, a travel day and then a double game day as well, you making some time for us. Really appreciate it. So look forward to your call today, 9:20 for Canada, Sweden. We'll have it for you here on TSN 1200 as well. Thanks, and we'll chat again next week when you're back on North American soil.
I'll talk to you from home next week.
All right, sounds good.